Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
I mean, this guy's not as agile as the lion. He's not as big and strong as the bear. This is nothing. And he's defying the armies of God. So now I ask you, Saul, how do I fail? There's one way to fail. Don't do it. Don't trust the Lord. Don't enter the battle. It's the way to fail. But as a follower of the Lord, prepared by God when he calls, when our shepherd leads, when our shepherd says, come on out, the only way to fail is to not come on out, not to do it, not to do what God says. That's the way you fail. But there is no other way to fail, because God's calling is God's enabling. When God says, God does.
Can you imagine what it must have been like to be David, a shepherd boy facing the war-hardened giant Goliath one-on-one? I can only imagine what it must have felt like to have the heat of the sun glaring down along with everyone's eyes from both sides of the battlefield. Maybe you can relate to that kind of pressure in your own life. In today's message, Pastor Troy will show you that when God calls you to face your Goliaths, he will protect you and equip you with everything that you need. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 10 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 10 as we talk about qualities of the Good Shepherd. Different dogs have different kind of lives. There are some dogs who are left outside with no affection. They don't get taken care of. Their bowls are always turned over. They don't get walks. And you always wonder, why do they have a dog? It's just out there. Then there are others at the other end of the extreme. They cook for their dog. Breakfast, you know, three meals and snacks if the dog so chooses. You can't leave them behind unless they're left at like some spa. And they have a wardrobe too. The dog has a little wardrobe and costume for Halloween. So you've seen that, right? Okay, it's out there. Maybe it's you. I'm not calling you the sinner. I'm not calling you out right now. You're just one of the sheep. But here's the question. Though we can see those as two extremes of a way of treating a dog, and we go, wow, that's extreme and that's extreme. If you were the dog, which owner would you like to have? You see, slightly different perspective, but that's exactly what David was saying, similar, that he doesn't spoil us. However, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord takes care of me. I shall not want. And so, the picture of a shepherd was something that everyone could understand in Israel during Jesus' time. The reason is because it was their heritage. It was their history. Many of their heroes had been shepherds. Moses, David, Jacob, Jacob's sons. They were all shepherds. It was part of their, like I said, their heritage, having been a nation of shepherds. You know, when they went into Egypt, the good old days. I don't mean the good old days of slavery. They didn't come in as slaves. They came in, and those were the good old days when Joseph was in command, second in command. And then they were tending, they were shepherds, and they were given Goshen, an area that was lush so that the flocks could have all that they wanted. And so this is part of their history, this whole idea of shepherding. The Lord would often, because of this, refer to those who led their people as shepherds. You're to shepherd my people. Shepherd my people. And they understood what that meant. It meant to take care of them. Don't lord over them, don't take advantage of them, but shepherd them, take care of them. Now, many of the leaders in Israel were bad shepherds. They weren't good. God even called them out. You're horrible, miserable. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to get on to you for this. But they focused on themselves rather than on the flock and taking care of them. They were taking advantage of people, and they all had their moments, for even David used his power to call in a woman named Bathsheba, and then eventually to murder her husband. So they all had some flesh in them. And all of them, at some point, abused their power, and many of them very often abused their power. So here you have shepherds. My people are to be shepherds. My leaders are to be shepherds. And now Jesus comes onto the scene. This is their history, and this is their claim, and this is what they're looking for. And Jesus comes onto the scene, and he says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd. I'm the one who's come, and I'm going to shepherd, and I'm going to care for, and I'm going to tend. I am the good shepherd. And his phrasing leaves no room for anyone else to be his equal. His phrasing isn't, you know, you had some good shepherds over the course of the kings, and I'm one of the good shepherds. I'm a good shepherd. No, his phrasing is, no, there is none equal to me. There is none like me. I am the good shepherd. You may have had some good shepherds, but they are under shepherds. I am the good shepherd. And so this emphatic claim and these emphatic claims that Jesus kind of continues to make, like I am, before Abraham was, I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm the door. I am the good shepherd. It causes these who are listening to start going, look, this guy is kind of nuts. You want to trust in this guy? By verses 19 and 21, that's exactly what they're saying. We don't need to listen to this guy. He's crazy. So today, we want to listen to this guy. He's our shepherd. And we want to take a look at Jesus and discover some qualities of the good shepherd. These are qualities that can make you and I stand up just like David did and proudly proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I go through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil because he's with me. I have a good shepherd. And he begins verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. His emphasis is, but I do. I care. You will not find anyone who cares as much as I do. So much so that our first point that we get here is that he sacrifices for his sheep. He sacrifices for sheep. Qualities of the good shepherd, he sacrifices for his sheep. Shepherding was very risky business. Just from a human standpoint, it was a very risky business. When you were leading them out into the fields, you could encounter anything. Bandits, because though we talked about how dumb they are, you didn't want them for their intelligence, but they brought in a few bucks. And so you wanted them for that, or there were all kind of predators out there that saw sheep as an easy snack. And so, when David, who was a shepherd, he grew up as a shepherd until he became king and was a musician in the house of the king, King Saul at the time. When David approaches Saul, because they're standing there facing the giant, do you remember that? You remember his name, Goliath? They're standing there facing Goliath. They're scared to death. No one wants to go down and challenge him. When David approaches Saul and says, I'll take him. Saul says to David, how are you going to take him? You know, we're all scared. Look how big. How are you going to do this? You know, David's answer, I know we always try to, it was the Lord. Here's this little guy, nothing. No, he couldn't do anything. But God. And it's true. It's true. But let me give you a little information here about David. David wasn't scared. He felt very prepared for this. It wasn't like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'm just going to trust the Lord. No, that's not what David's words were. David came in saying, I was a shepherd, man. I can take care of this. I got bigger battles than this as a shepherd. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 through 36. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So he's saying, not only can I take, I'm ready for this, but God is on my side. Can I fail? You ask, how can I do it? I ask you, how can I fail? God has not only prepared me for this. I mean, this guy's not as agile as the lion. He's not as big and strong as the bear. This is nothing. And he's defying the armies of God. So now I ask you, Saul, how do I fail? There's one way to fail. Don't do it. Don't trust the Lord. Don't enter the battle. It's the way to fail. But as a follower of the Lord, prepared by God when he calls, when our shepherd leads, when our shepherd says, come on out, the only way to fail is to not come on out, not to do it, not to do what God says. That's the way you fail. But there is no other way to fail, because God's calling is God's enabling. When God says, God does. A good shepherd does not flee when danger comes, like a hireling, because he actually cares for the sheep. David cared for the sheep. He also cared. There was the value of this is our family's livelihood. But there's a caring for the sheep, too. There was an intimacy. You watch a mom, and she could be scared and timid, but try hitting her kid. She won't be the same woman, I guarantee you. She will be totally different. And the same is true when a shepherd invests his life and everything into the sheep. You don't mess with the sheep. And he loves his sheep. W.M. Thompson was a man who interviewed several shepherds in the Middle East. And he wrote a book called The Land in the Book. And in that book, he put some of his interviews. And let me read a little portion of it. He says, I've listened with intense interest to those shepherds' graphic descriptions of downright and desperate fights with savage beasts. When the thief and the robber come, and they do come, the faithful shepherd has often to put his life in his hand to defend the flock. I have known more than one case where the shepherd had literally to lay it down in the contest. One poor fellow, instead of fleeing, actually fought off three Bedouin robbers until he was hacked to pieces himself, and he died among the sheep that he was defending. Those are people. They care so much for the value and the sheep that they're tending. They know that's their job. They're willing to lay down their life. That's a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't, unless he doesn't care about the sheep or only cares about himself.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website, again, is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
But let me tell you, there's a difference between Jesus, the good shepherd, and even those good shepherds. Those good shepherds, they go out not looking for a fight. They go out not looking for death. They're hoping they can find the safe paths. But when Jesus came, he knew he was going to face death. He was going straight into the heart of the enemy and the problem. He was going in for that. He came knowing he would die. Verse 18, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus' death was no accident. I don't care what others try to say. Well, he was a good man and he was killed, or he wasn't killed, or he swooned, whatever the different philosophies and theories are out there. Jesus went to the cross because he intended to die for the sins of the world. But it also says, I lay it down that I may take it up. I have the power to do that. Jesus' death paid the price for sin. And his resurrection defeated sin. And defeated sin and death and the grave. Not only did he know the cost of sin, the cost that would have to be paid. Look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. So not only does he know the cost, but he knows his sheep. He knows you personally, every quirk, every little nuance, every fear, everything that has ever happened in your life to make you who you are with those fears and concerns. Why you don't like certain things. You know, one kid said this, and for the rest of my life, I was swung to this other side, and so I hated those things. We've been messed up by life, guys. We're not unbiased. And things hit, they hit us hard, and they stick with us for a long time, and we need a shepherd because we are a mess. And notice that the shepherd who knows his sheep, he didn't lay his life down for himself. He laid his life down for the sheep because he cares about the sheep. The Lord knows you and the Lord loves you, not just the person next to you. He loves you. You have great value to him, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life and for your being here. Nothing happens in your life that he doesn't incorporate or having had seen use for his glory and his plan. He made you the way you are, and he's going to continue to change you into what you're supposed to be without all of the damage that has happened. The shepherd knows his sheep, gives them little nicknames, you know. Oh, come on, they're Slowpoke. And so he can identify his sheep, or Fluffy, and all the different names. Well, he has your names. He certainly hasn't called me Fluffy. But he does call me by name. When the Lord was calling to Jeremiah, he was calling him, and he was calling him to a mission, to a work, right? And Jeremiah said, I can't. I'm not qualified. Who am I? I can't do this. What did the Lord say? Oh, that's right. I forgot. I meant Jeremiah Jones, not you. That's not what the Lord said. You know what the Lord said? I'll tell you. He says the same thing to you, but Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He said that to Jeremiah, who was saying, I can't. He says, look, I knew you before you ever came out and got messed up and afraid. I knew you. I know you. I'm the one who sanctified you. I'm the one who prepared you. I'm the one who called you. I have this for you. Any questions? Moses tried the same thing when God met him in the burning bush. I'm dumb. I can't talk. What do you mean, Moses? I took you to school. I raised you up in Egypt. You have a brilliant education, more than most around. I can't. So he says, all right, look, Aaron's over there. I'll use him as your spokesman, but we're going to do this. And he goes, and if you watch the scriptures, one, Aaron turned out to be a pretty poor spokesman. And the first time he's left alone, he makes a golden calf. It's like, goodness, Aaron. So Moses, whether you stutter or not, you need to speak up, son. Come on, don't leave it to Aaron, because I called you. In the New Testament, it says Moses was powerful of speech. So the Lord, he knows us. He knows what he's called us to. He knows each and every one of us by name. He's the one. Oh, you can try to explain to someone why you feel the way you do, why you're hurt the way you do, why you're so afraid of this and afraid to let go and afraid to trust. You can tell someone until you're blue in the face, but let me just tell you this, there's one who knows. There's one who knows, and he still calls, and he still asks, and he still puts you in the uncomfortable situations by faith. But you know my fear, Lord, this rejection thing happened, and I'm just asking you to go share the gospel, and it's not you they reject, it's me. But I hate rejection, Lord. I know that. It's not you they reject. I'm with you. And he calls us. He calls us out of our comfort zone. But he knows us. If Jesus, the good shepherd, has a plan for your life, and he's willing to lead you, and he's willing to be there for you, why would you not follow? And then another question, why would you try to be anything or something that you're not? He knows who he called. I always think it's funny in worship, I've heard people lead worship and they'll get up there and it's a song from like Hillsong or something where they got the Australian accents, an Australian singer. It's a totally American person, but they get up there, Lord, we thank you. What happened? Is there some kind of filter or something? They get up there and there's someone they're not, because they're trying to sing it like God, you know? There's things in the arm. And you go, what happened to the one you called, Lord? I don't know, but I'm going to have to use somebody else. That guy's speaking Australian. The Lord has called you, and He wants to use you just the way you are. Now, in the process, He's going to continue to work on you, and He's going to continue to change you. If He wants to give you an Australian accent, He'll give you one. Take you to Australia or something, or one day you'll wake up. Good day, mate. What happened to me? I'm speaking Australian, mate. And you won't have any control, but be who you are, because that's who God wants to use. He gets the glory in a genuine vessel committed to Him. Don't try to be something that you're not. It's fake. People can see that, by the way. Just let God use you, and He will do amazing things you never thought He could do. And you'll sit down and go, wow, Lord, You are God. You're awesome. You may break down and cry at the goodness of God because of how much He loves you. So He sacrifices for His sheep. He knows His sheep. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear My voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now we need the context, because our next point or quality of the good shepherd is that He unites His sheep. Now don't consider yourself right here, and other sheep I have. See, we're not the first ones. We are the other sheep. Because remember last week we talked about the pen, and He was calling them out. He was calling the sheep out of the fold. And we said that was the pen of Judaism. He was calling them out of that old relationship and to a relationship about following Him. It says, and so I'm going to add, guys, I'm going to add to this. There's other sheep outside of this fold here of Judaism. I'm going to add them. And He's been adding them ever since, throughout every generation. You and I are the other sheep. Remember the context? Jesus was speaking to the man who was born blind. He was healed. He got kicked out. He got kicked out of Judaism. So now, you know, where's my faith? How do I have a relationship with the Lord? And Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man, Son of God? He says, well, show me who He is. He says, I'm Him. He says, yes, I believe. And then He goes off into this illustration, which we are reading now, talking about the sheepfold and the pen and other sheep I have. So He's speaking to Israel like, hey, not only is this guy okay, even though they kicked him out of the sheep pen, but I have more sheep. That would be the Gentiles and those who were not in Judaism. So this is a picture of the Lord uniting His sheep from Judaism in the time of His people all the way until now. But He's uniting them the right way. See, Judaism had them united under the flag, you know, the banner of Judaism. But it became very divisive, and divisive the wrong way. It was all about heritage. And we know no one is saved because mom was saved. So now as He leads them out, what is the right dividing line? The line that should unite? Well, it's those who hear His voice and follow, versus those who don't recognize His voice and don't follow. That's the dividing line. See, in the sheep pen, Israel, you know, Judaism, walking about, how do I know which sheep are mine? How do I know which sheep belong to the shepherd? Because He calls them and they follow. That's the difference. Before, the dividing line was nationality. It was religion, a religious system. But now it is what the New Testament refers to as faith. Saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, but it is Him.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in